mics are hot. Today is March 23rd. We are back, episode 305. Decky Travelocity, how are you?
We're doing great, Andy. Tie-dye, living the dream out here in good old Tonopah, Arizona. Got the full RV set up, just feeling like an absolute dime piece out here. I got my mic stand now, feeling like I can do all things with my hands at all times. I'm unlimited.
You're agile, dude. It is incredible how you've grown just with your podcast equipment. I mean, and how you've grown as a booking agent. I just want to make that clear to all of our marketing interns right now. Decky is Decky Travelocity because you want to book your trip with this guy. He's been booking guests for the date night podcast, which is four people, and people back out minutes before, and he's got another person in line. And then he books people here on the back pocket. I mean, you're a Travelocity agency.
Yeah, look, I didn't ask for this position, but I certainly earned it. And, you know, I'm here to produce and make sure that I don't take no for an answer. I've been doing it for 4 years. I'm a seasoned vet, but always here to learn. So, yeah, thank you for the recognition. I really appreciate that. Another thing, though, that I realized is like we're really good at these Zoom calls now. Like we got this thing fully dialed in.
It feels natural. Like I'm very excited now to sit in this position for these podcasts. At first it was like hesitant. Is this going to be enjoyable? We're not in the studio. But honestly, like everything dialed in, it feels just the same.
Yeah. And so another thing with our production company that I think we can provide is like we can set up Zoom calls and talks for companies. Like if like Target or any of those people, like I know Matthew McConaughey spoke at Target a couple weeks ago when he was promoting his book, and like they always get speakers coming through and they're always dialing in like to Zoom calls to like talk to the employees, but they like the actual call, how it looks just looks like ass. I feel like we can step in there, even though it's not a podcast, we can the technical aspect there. I feel like that's a huge opportunity for us.
100%. And it starts with these cameras. No one has these cameras. No one knows how to hook up these cameras. It's the simplest thing. However, we've mastered it. And you're right. The Targets of the world, the Best Buys, the Dick's Sporting Goods, Amazon. Let's go corporate, dude.
I'm just saying they got money. I feel like we could go after them. You know, it just kind of makes sense. But we should build a little context here. You know, we like to talk at the beginning of these podcasts that we've been releasing that we're a production company. That was kind of our fun way of doing it. We talked about the date night podcast and how I'm booking everybody for that. So sign up there. The link to that is in the show notes. But today, and why everyone's here, and why everything really matters right now is because we have Alex Zahner on the podcast today. She's the host of the Creating Ripples podcast. We actually produce that podcast for her. And she's our very first client of Back Pocket Productions. So we're excited to talk to her about that stuff, but she's also got an incredible story.
Yes, incredible story. We've been now working with her for a month, and I'm so proud of her podcast. She really gets into the nitty gritty with each guest, and she's a recent mom, and you already can tell she has that mom aura about her, and the way she builds intimacy during these conversations on her podcast, it's incredible. I thoroughly enjoy going through the audio each week and scrubbing through, making sure the Zoom lag is all taken care of. But just like listening to it is so uplifting. She listens so well. I'm curious to see how she feels on the other end. You know how podcast guests are when they come on someone else's show and they have to talk about themselves. It always gets a little funny.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm excited for her. And yeah, she is the cutest little mom, dude. I can't wait to tell her that over person here. So it's going to be fun just diving in here. But yeah, she's a phenomenal guest. And I'm just very excited for you all to tune in. Alex, welcome to the Back Pocket. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Looks like you're recording not in your closet this time. What's going on?
I'm not in the closet. I am in Jordan's office, so I got a little bit of an upgrade. As you can see,
the wood
ceilings, the painting, the live painting from our wedding. It's a bit of an upgrade. And then it's spa night here at the Zahner House, which means Clara, our one-year-old, is getting a tub and a massage by Jordo, so her dad. It's a big night here at the Zahner House. So,
and I bet you she loves spa night. This is her favorite night of the week.
It is spa night. She gets spa night every other night, so she's a little spoiled, you know.
Oh wow!
Most of us, we only get to go to the spa like once a year, maybe. She gets to go every other night. So
wow. And does she get the same treatment from Jordo every other night, or do you guys switch off?
We tag team. Usually I'm on the tub duty, and then Jordan is the massage duty.
Nice. So
it's a team effort, or one of us has to take care of our dog Schmidt, who's usually running around with her head cut off. But she went to the groomer today, which she hates. So I think she's a little bit more tame, actually, because I think she put all of her energy out towards making that groomer's life quite miserable.
I love the name Schmidt, by the way. And you broke the news. I immediately said he, but Schmidt is a girl.
Yes, she is a girl, and she's named after Schmidt from New Girl. So if you watch New Girl, that is why my husband and I love Schmidt on New Girl. Best character, hands down.
Amen to that. We love Schmidt here at the Colfax house as well.
Yeah, we're a pro-Schmidt podcast. I think we'll go ahead and say that. Just need
yeah,
to be.
Good.
I also want to get ahead of this. I'm a pro-Jordo. We're a pro-Jordo podcast as well. I've never met the guy. I just love the nickname Jordo. And it seems like the guy's bringing a lot of value to the table in recent days. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. Jordo is definitely the top husband. I married up for sure. No doubt about it. If anyone knows our relationship, they would agree with that 100%. I often joke, but I'm dead serious. He is my housewife. He came with not a passion, but he definitely cleans and does the laundry all the time. And I just don't have that eyesight. Like, I don't see something and I'm like, I'm going to vacuum today. So it's very much like, okay, what do you need me to do? Or tonight he was the grill master. Yeah. I married up, like, no doubt about
good.
It.
Good. Yeah. I'll kick your coverage. I like to hear
yeah,
that.
Yeah. 100%.
That's
like,
great.
I don't even understand. I think I just tricked him into marrying me pretty early on before he realized like the mess that he might have been marrying into. And now it's like, sorry, it's too late for you to get out now.
You were recently married, correct?
We are married. We've been married for almost 3.5 years now.
Oh, 3.5 years. Okay. So then the transition to this new home is recent. And that was when COVID started to hit. So when you guys started to figure out how you are around the house.
Yes.
COVID structure.
Yeah. So we used to live in Highland Park in a 900 square foot home, which is essentially the size of an apartment. 2-bed, 1-bath, which we love. We love Highland Park. We were right by Plums and right by my work at Alchemy. And then we really quickly realized babies have a lot of shit and they take up a lot of room, and we were going to need to figure something out. Decided to start looking in Stillwater, which is where we're both from. Found a neighborhood we liked, started to build a home. We got to live with my parents, so Jordo's in-laws, for 6 months, which was an interesting ride with a 3-month-old. Lived there from June until November, and then we just moved into our house a few months ago.
Wow. Yeah, congrats.
Living with the in-laws, I mean, there's another reason Jordo's the best. I love my in-laws, but even I couldn't do 6 months with in-laws.
Any crazy stories living with the in-laws?
Well, Jordan at this point has no filter with giving it right back to my parents. Like, there's just at the beginning, you know, like you're trying to like win over the in-laws or your significant other's parents. At this point, I think there's just like no barrier anymore. He gives it right back to my mom, like no question about it.
Wow. Jordo.
But yeah. In like a loving way.
Oh,
in like
sure.
a loving way.
Sure. Tough love.
Yeah, like tough love. Like we had chores. So like we live there, they're rent free, thankfully for them. But it was like, you have to do X, Y, and Z. And my mom and him like to just give each other a hard time out of love. But yeah.
Totally understand that. That makes sense. But yeah, I you know, never met Jordo, but you know, that was a really that was a really good Jordo bit for out of nowhere. I didn't, you know, you never thought you would start the podcast that way, but here we are. I also want to say too, you know, it's been fun ever since like we've had, so we, in the intro of this podcast, we were like, yeah, you know, Alex is our first Back Pocket production client. We got to get her on the podcast. It's big, big historic moment. But I think one of the coolest things, about kind of what we've been doing here is like, we were trying to figure out how to like tell people we're a production company. And so the only way that we figured was like the best way to do it was just to shout it from the rooftops and say that. And what was really cool is when you hit us up, you're like, I saw you guys doing this Straight Candid podcast. I knew you guys were like good at producing and whatever. But then right when you told us that you were officially a production company, I figured I'd reach out. And I was like, all right, that makes sense why you just say things like from a branding standpoint. If you want to be something, tell people that's what you want to be and you'll attract those types of people. So anyways, Alex, welcome to the production company side of things. We're happy to have you as a client.
Yeah, I've been loving working with Declan and Andrew. They've been awesome and I'm excited to continue working with both of you. And yeah, exactly what you said. I saw what you're doing with Sid and Soph, and once you announced it, I was like, okay, I got to reach out or I'm going to regret not doing it. So here we are.
Yeah, right on. So I guess just for the listeners and our interns that don't necessarily know who you are, just kind of give a little bit of a background. I know you're involved heavily in the fitness industry and you worked for Alchemy Fitness right by St. Thomas. That's where we actually met when I was taking one of Brooklyn Nicolotti's classes. So that was fun meeting you for the first time. But I know you're in fitness space and now I obviously know you run a podcast, which is 30-ish episodes in. So congrats on that. But yeah, just kind of give us a little bit of a background. We'd love to hear more.
Yeah. So I'm Alex Honor. I am the general manager and a coach at Alchemy Highland Park. I've been full-time with Alchemy for, it'll be 4 years, April 1st, which is crazy to think. I studied exercise science at the U of M and knew that I wanted to work with athletes. I grew up being an athlete my entire life, playing tennis and lacrosse, and then decided to go to the U. I was not going to play D1, unfortunately, even if I really wanted to. I wish made the decision that my career would be focused around fitness and wellness. So I actually worked on the flip side at Summit Orthopedics, where we saw a lot of injured athletes, which I loved getting that opportunity to work with ACL patients or labral tears in the shoulder, different things like that. But it was also really sad breaking the news to a senior that they were not going to play the rest of their season. And that was when I started to get involved with yoga, teaching yoga, working out at Alchemy, saw what Alchemy was doing, loved it, decided I want to help people to stay active, to stay fit, and really make sure they feel educated and informed on what they're doing. So that's when I made the switch over to Alchemy full time. And then really, I've just been in Alchemy for the last 4 years. But this last year has been a huge pivotal year for me, where I launched the Creating Ripples podcast in December. And then in January, I launched a business called Embolden, which is for women that are either pregnant, trying to conceive, maybe navigating pregnancy or thinking about it in their future, or they're currently moms and in that early postpartum stages. So really love fitness. And that's exactly what Embolden is about. It's helping women to feel confident in their activity during pregnancy and after, and then connecting them with other women so that you don't really feel alone in what you're going through, because that was huge for me early on in postpartum. It's a very isolating thing. It's a really wonderful and incredible experience getting to become a mom, but it also just feels like you have no fucking clue what you're doing.
Oh, what is that? What goes into that? How do you create community and make people feel comfortable inside Embolden?
Yeah, so with Embolden, we offer currently right now monthly workout classes where they're built around a 30 to 40 minute workout. And then after, we lead into a meditation or breath work that I lead. And then we have questions that we ask the attendees. So far, we only done two events so far, and we've had about 12 to 15 people come, and we have different questions such as like, what was a win for you as a mom this week or as a pregnant woman? What was like a big learning? What's a big struggle for you? And just like hearing other women share the struggles or the hardships and being able to like let them know like, oh my God, I totally understand what you're talking about. It's just this feeling of comfort knowing that you actually aren't alone in those experiences, even though they can feel super isolating. And we use the fitness as a way to help women really feel powerful in their bodies, because during pregnancy, your body totally changes and it does not feel like your own. And for a lot of women, fitness is like their safe space, and sometimes they might not even be able to work out. And so we wanted to create a way for women to show up. I would give them modifications to meet them wherever they were at. And the goal is that when you finish that class, you feel a little bit more like yourself, but you're able to feel really confident and strong in your body as a woman.
That's awesome. And I'm excited that we're talking about pregnancy and you get to explain pregnancy to two guys who will, one, never go through it, and two, aren't thinking about it whatsoever. So this is great. I have a ton of questions here. Can we also break some news that you told us off air?
We sure can break some news. So I'm actually currently pregnant again.
I decided
why not just do it again, right?
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, snaps all around.
Yeah, snaps for Jordo, snaps for you. I mean, that's freaking cool as hell. You know, do you wake up the next morning feeling a little more confident, like, hell yeah, I'm pregnant now? Or, like, how does that work?
I don't know. It's really interesting, actually, how this pregnancy has felt so different already. So I'm only 7 weeks. I felt really confident in my last pregnancy, or really sick. I've had a lot more anxiety this time around. And truth be told, I think it's because I've been immersing myself more in pregnancy and loss and miscarriages. And I'm hearing a lot more about that. I knew that they were really common. 1 in 4 women have a miscarriage at some point. So 25% is actually a pretty high rate. And I think I've just been hearing a lot more about it. So I'm honestly a little bit more anxious. And one of the reasons that I'm actually like, yeah, let's tell people I'm pregnant, is I really believe in the power of community and having people that can back you. A lot of women will wait until 12, 13 weeks, actually, till you're out of that first trimester, because your miscarriage rate significantly drops. Mm. Like, I think it drops to like, you're 80% less likely to have a miscarriage. Don't quote me on that. I'm not a doctor. But so a lot of people wait till that first trimester. And for me, that was something, even with Clara, right away, we told everybody in our circle, because I wanted to have support no matter what. And that's kind of how I'm going about this same pregnancy.
So gender reveals, for you, what's your preference on that? And then, do you believe in these gender reveal parties, or what's going on there?
Yeah, we're a bit of an oddball couple. We did not find out the gender with
Clara, like that,
and we won't find it out again.
I love that.
If you are listening, I highly recommend doing, because it's like one of the few surprises that you have left. And it was so cool. Just, I ended up having a C-section with Clara, and literally I think most of my friends and family thought it was a boy. So when they like showed Jordan and he told me it was a girl, I had to like re-ask, are you sure? Are you sure? Because I always thought I would have boys. So I was like shocked that it was a girl. And so now I'm like, is it going to be a boy? Jordan thinks he's going to be like a girl dad, and we're going to have like 3 girls, which is like terrifying to me. I love girls. Obviously, I am one of them. But I would love like a little mix. So I have to wait until October until we will know. But I mean, everyone else in my friend group, they all find out the gender right away. So I'm a little bit of an oddball there, but I highly recommend doing it. It's a fun wait. It's hard, but it's worth it.
I see myself doing the same thing. I would love to wait till the baby's born to figure out the gender of the child. That's so sound like that anticipation and the reward and holding off the whole time. Mm-hmm. I can imagine is just, it's like nothing else. You're spot on when you say it's the only surprise, the real surprise left.
Mm-hmm.
It had been very hard to do as well.
Yeah, I think the hardest thing is if you're someone that's like a type A planner and you envision your nursery being a gender specific nursery. We just did gender neutral, kept it gray, nothing crazy. But that's the other thing. There's all this like pressure that you're going to make this nursery so beautiful. The baby doesn't even sleep in there until at the earliest 3 months. Mm. Which I didn't know. I was like, where the baby, the crib, it's going to be so cute. And then they're like, actually, the baby doesn't sleep in there for months.
Where does the baby sleep then?
The baby gets to sleep right in your room next to you in a little bassinet bed. So that if you're breastfeeding, which that's a whole nother journey.
We'll get into that.
You have the baby like right there, you know, like, right there.
Easy breast access.
Yeah, easy access for the baby. You just feed them. We did not breastfeed. We pumped and then formula fed. Mm. It was a whole journey. This is another reason Jordo's the best, because it was a team effort. Unlike other guys where their wife breastfeeds and they just get to like sleep through it. He was up day teaming with me, helping me out. So I didn't have to like be up for 2 hours by myself. He got up and broke it down for me. So I had an hour, And well, he was up right with me. We just watched New Girl. We just watched New Girl while we did it.
Nice. So yeah, this is actually, when you mentioned breastfeeding, you know, this is actually a common segment on our podcast. I hate to say it, but we, at one point, Andrew and I, Andrew and I called our moms on the podcast and asked if we were breastfed or formula fed. And then usually other guests, we will ask them to do the same. We won't do that with you. You were formula fed. Okay.
Yeah.
So my mom said, had said back in the 90s when I was born that breast is best. I don't want to refute what or debate necessarily, but I'd like to kind of open the floor for you to tell me what's kind of up in the new world now in terms of breastfed versus formula fed.
Yeah, this is a touchy subject for a lot of people.
Oh, man. Perfect.
Yeah, a lot of people will say breast is best. I wholeheartedly believe fed is best.
Whoa, this is the first perspective on our podcast.
The reason being, so okay, we're gonna get deep here. We're just gonna lay it all out. Fun fact, when you have a baby, your milk doesn't just naturally come in. Like, what? Like, I just figured my baby would be here. My body would do what it needed. That doesn't happen. Sorry, that was loud. That doesn't happen. So I'm not producing anything for Clara to eat. So it's like, okay, what do we do in this situation? Well, at the hospital, they have donor milk. So we supplemented with milk that was donated by people that had too much milk, an issue I never experienced. And so we used that. Well, it was free while we were at the hospital. When we left, it's like the most expensive thing, donor milk. It's crazy. I can't even remember how much it was. And so about a week out, we were like, okay, this is not working. We're going to have to do breast milk and formula. And there's a lot of pressure that is put on women that you have to breastfeed. So like right when you have the baby, there's the lactation consultant like helping you trying to get the baby to latch. And like, you're still figuring out like, what the fuck just happened? I just brought a baby into the world and they're there like touching your boobs, literally like just touching you. And you're like, okay, cool. And so when we get home, still was not producing enough milk to feed Clara. And I was starting to feel a lot of shame and guilt because I like couldn't do what I thought like my body was supposed to do as a woman, feed my baby. So I started texting one of my best friends who's a NICU nurse, and I knew she had a friend that had a similar situation and really struggled with it. And her friend literally was like, here's the deal. You're going to feel a lot of pressure to do a lot of things as a mom. The best advice I can give you is to do what feels best for you and your family. And that I took that and I ran with it, because there are all these different situations that come up in motherhood that you're going to feel challenged about, that you're going to feel shame or guilt if you start to compare to other people's journeys. But the truth is, at the end of the day, like, nobody knows exactly what you're going through, and you have to figure out what's best for you. So she was the one that told me fed is best. And my friend that's a NICU nurse also said the same thing. And she's like, at the end of the day, is Clara growing? Great. Then fed is best. And so that's my whole take on it. And a lot of it has to do with like, I physically couldn't produce enough milk to even feed her where she would grow at the rate that she should have as an early infant.
Right.
Wow. That is something I've just I had never knew.
And I didn't know either. They don't even prepare you for this shit. Like, that's like a whole other story of like, you as a woman and a husband or your partner, your spouse, however you choose to have a baby, there's all these things that just don't get talked about. Like, I had no fucking clue that your milk wouldn't be ready.
And just like small brain, I don't know when the milk is ready to begin with, but is it
some
typical?
People's is. Some okay. People's is.
Typically, it's honey, like you have a baby ready? And typically you have a baby and then you're able to produce milk.
Some people, like, it's crazy. Some people will have so much milk that their boobs will just leak. It'll just leak milk all the time. Like, wow. I have friends that are like, yeah, I just wake up in the middle of the night covered in a milk like river, and I'm like, cool, I never have that issue. It was like, come on, come on, anything in there? Like, is anything going to come out?
So do you eat like Greek yogurt and dairy products to try and give yourself more milk, or what's the source?
You make lactation balls. My mom, props to Teresa. She made up these little balls, which Jordo also enjoyed to eat. So they're good for anybody, but they're like oats, brewer's yeast, chocolate, and like almond butter, and you just freeze them and you just eat them. But honestly, yeah, they just tasted good. I never really noticed the difference in them. It's more just like a treat. Like, okay, we'll see what happens.
So going off your statement of saying there's a lot of things about pregnancy and the journey in itself that not a lot of people know slash were never told, or it's not common knowledge. Is there anything else specifically to your experience so far that we may need to know?
Well, first off, if you are not the birthing parent, supporting whoever the birthing parent is in your relationship, and never, like, you're not going to ever be able to truly understand. I've come to realize Jordan will be like, what can I do? But there's nothing really, like, some days they're going to feel really good. And then some days you're going to be, I like to be like, lay horizontally and do nothing, which now is a lot harder. We have a baby, so I can't just like lay there and do nothing. I have to like get up and play. Like, that's really hard. But as like a supporting parent or spouse or whoever you are with the birthing parent, I think it's just like really recognizing that you're a team. That's what works for Jordan and I. And I know that's easier said than done. A lot of households have like gender specific roles, like the man does one thing, the woman does another. But I think the more that you can be a team and support one another through pregnancy, labor and delivery and postpartum, that's going to make the whole journey through parenthood that much easier. But it's easier said than done.
In one area where you definitely need to become a team is the naming the child.
Oh, yeah.
And when you don't know the gender of your child, that's when, you know, you got your laundry list ready. So with Clara, was there a giant list, and have you already started creating your next one?
Yeah, so this is my list, if you can see it. I don't think you can, but so it's really funny. With a girl, we knew it was gonna be Clara James. Like, that was for sure. Clara is my grandmother who passed away on my mom's side. That was her middle name. And when my mom was like randomly looking at her driver's license one day, I was like, oh, that's fun, I like that. And then I like boy names for girls. And James is my dad and my brother's middle name. And so I was like, we'll do Clara James and we'll call her CJ. But that is, CJ has not made the transition yet. Just doesn't feel right for me. And then for boys, our top two boy names were Griffin, and we call him Griff or Lewis. Mm. And then we will use my maiden name, McDowell, as the boy's middle name. But Jordan is now like wavering on the boy names, and Ooh. Now we just have a long ass list for guys and girls. So we haven't quite whittled it down lately. I've been really liking the name Charlie with the Y for a girl. Like, it's a little edgy, you know?
Yeah.
Different.
I like
know?
That.
What do you have like names? You know, sometimes the guys
I do,
come in,
yeah.
Like, guns a blazing with some name choices.
Yeah, I actually had a tweet today. No one liked it. It didn't get any good impressions, but it was actually just, the tweet was worst guy names, a thread, and I just listed off a bunch of really bad names. So we can go through this real quick. And just, these
Hopefully
are names.
None of them are on my list.
Well, these are guy names that we can stay away from. Yeah. I think we can start
okay.
with that.
Okay.
The first one, the first bad guy name, I think Shannon is a terrible guy name.
Shannon.
Yeah. There's a guy I work
Shannon.
With.
Yeah,
his name's
I,
full
I
on Shannon.
With.
It's terrible.
I'd agree to that.
Leslie, yeah. bad guy name.
So basically female names for males.
No, I got a few more here. Fran, don't name your son Francis and call him Fran. That's a shit ass name in my opinion. this guy, there's a guy on my job site who has this name and I think it sucks too. Oswaldo. We can't have that.
No.
Oswaldo.
Ozzy, you can call him Ozzy.
Ozzy would be cool, but I just don't like it. And then I had my last one that I didn't really like was Tank.
No, yeah.
Makes me think of a bulldog. I don't know.
Right. Tank Evan. Tank is also the name of the penguin in Surf's Up, who's like the evil, mean bully penguin. His name's Tank Evans. And yeah,
so, I haven't seen it.
So it's just, you know, it doesn't have a great vibe to it. But it so you have, are you finding yourself having to do, or is it fun to like put to, I guess, guess or come up with different boy names and girl names, like doing twice the work for the surprise?
I mean, I have a long ass list of names that if when I hear a name that I really like, I just write it down.
Okay.
So honestly, like before Jordan and I even met, this list was going.
Wow.
I was on a trip. I was on a trip in Colorado. We were going to Red Rocks to see OAR, and I was in Boulder, and I'll never forget. We were at the store, and I heard a girl named Chandler, and I don't, it's a weird name, but for some reason I was like, yeah, Chandler. And I literally wrote in my notes, Chandler, girl.
Like, I like that.
Jordan has not, I haven't won him over on it yet. He keeps just showing me clips of Chandler Bing from Friends being like, Chandler is the worst name ever. Like, I don't know. Could
what,
be cool.
What are,
could be cool.
So I have two questions. Your dark horse name for a boy, and then Jordo's favorite name that he just won't stop bringing up.
Well, like dark horse, like my top name right now?
Well, no. Dark horse would be like... like you have your 1, 2, 3 maybe, but like there's one that like maybe further down the list that you're like, oh, I actually kind of really like that name.
So lately I've been going back to the name Van. I really like the name Van. So
V-A-N?
There's a story behind it. Yeah. Okay. So Jordan and I, when we first started dating, listened to Van Morrison a lot. And I don't know. I just have never heard anyone with that name, but I don't know if it's like too out there. I don't know. I really liked the idea of Connor, but say it with our last name.
Connor Zahner.
Doesn't work. You just can't do it to a kid, you
but
know?
Van Zahner.
You got to think about those things. Like I told Jordan, I like the name Ian, and his response was Ian Pian. I'm like, are you kidding? You're 32. That's your response when I tell you that name?
Yeah, Ian Pian? Just make fun of your
kid. Now I can't do it. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, if you're gonna make fun of him, of course kids are gonna make fun of him. Like,
right?
That's how naming works in the Zahner house. I say a name, and then Jordan tells me if somehow our kid's gonna get made fun of with it, and then it's dead. It's dead from there.
Van Zahner, though. I mean, that is a dope name.
Cool.
Yeah, I like
Jordan's,
that.
Jordan's top one is Wells right now, which
yes,
a little bit more
Wells
out there, but. We kind of like to go like a name that you're not going to hear hopefully a lot of.
I'm a huge proponent of that, as my name is Declan. I know I had no say in that, but I love having a name that no one else has.
Yeah. It's really funny. My parents tried to do that with all of my siblings. So I'm Alex. It's like the most common name in the entire world. So they kind of failed me. But my sister is Jadelyn, which I don't know any Jadelyns. And my brother's Crawford. So, like, they hit the nail on the head 2 out of 3, but, like, Alex, they lost. But I'm very grateful. My other options were Delaney, which definitely 100% would not have fit, and Elle, like Elle Woods.
Going back to the Connor Zahner, like, alliteration, I can't name my daughter Sarah. My last name's In Sarah. So Sarah and Sarah would just not work.
Nope.
And what's also hilarious is growing up and still to this day, when someone new says Andrew and Sarah's coming over to like family or friends, everyone always thinks there's two people coming over. Everyone thinks Sarah's coming with me wherever I go.
Good.
And I had this,
just me.
And I had this really funny moment back in grade school where my name got called over the announcements, and we had a substitute teacher, and it was like, Andrew and Sarah, please come down to the office, your mom's here. And the substitute said, Andrew and Sarah, please go to the office. And I didn't know any better, and I walked down the school with Sarah, and I got to the office, and then my mom's like, Sarah, sorry, you could go back now, like, I just need Andrew.
Oh my gosh, poor Sarah. She's probably like, what did I do?
Any Sarah's following. There's always a Sarah following around me somewhere. But yeah, that's a name that I just have to stay away from. Sarah and Sarah is a no-go.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to think about those things. I mean, the other thing we think about is, what's the nickname going to be? Jordo was Jay-Z. I was McDowell. So I was McDZ. You know, you got to make sure they're going to have good nicknames. That's important.
You got to
small things. That's what we think about. Most people probably don't think about these weird ass things, but that's what we think about.
No, I like focusing on the little things, especially with the name. I think it's that just the intention will work itself out. But the nickname thing, I mean, some random fourth grade kid's going to give your son or daughter a nickname that's going to stick, and it's just not going to be your son or daughter's name. But, you know, that's okay. I think if you do anything, just don't make your kid hate their name. Like, don't give them a name where they're like, all right, I need more options, and they go like purposely with their middle name or something.
Yeah.
Like, I know a lot of kids who do that, and I just feel bad for them.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. That's why we're like, okay, it's got to be a cool name, but something that they'll embrace, right?
Right.
Right.
Man, and that sounds fun.
Naming is half the fun in coming up with a podcast as well. And yeah. We got to bring in Creating Ripples. And I'm just curious on the creation story. What was it like coming up with a name for your first podcast and your current podcast?
Yeah, so Creating Ripples, this was an idea that came to me when I went to like a visions and goal setting at Lululemon in January of 2018. So keep that in mind. I launched in December 2020. And when I went, the visions and goal setting was about like, what do you see yourself doing in life? And for me, it was, I really wanted to create connection and like real connection. So often you hear like the highlight reel, and I wanted to create a space that was like beyond that, like the real shit, what's actually happening, how are we getting through it, and helping other people to feel inspired. And it kind of perfectly ties into that whole motherhood aspect of less alone. So honestly, I think the fact that I didn't launch the podcast before I had Clara was serendipitous, in the sense like I probably wasn't fully ready. And now that I've like had this whole other layer to me, there's just like more that I can give to the podcast. And I started working with a coach in June of 2019. I actually found out I was pregnant right when I decided to work with her. Bless you, Nikki Nuremberg. So it was a 3-month program. Like, she takes you through, it was called her like Dream Career Accelerator program. Or was tapped in when I did it with her. And it was all about like tapping into like this creative side to you. She does what's called inner child work. Are you familiar with that at all?
I am not familiar. Okay,
so basically it's connecting back to like who you were as a child before the world got their hands on you. Because if you think about it, kids are really fucking cool. Like, they don't care what other people think about them. They just go out and live their lives. And then we reach a certain age where people's thoughts and opinions start to weigh on us and start to sway how we act, how we show up in the world. And so she does this work with you to like reconnect to who you were really before anyone started to impact you. And one of the activities was reaching out to family and friends about, you know, what type of kid you were and how they remember you in that sense. And so my parents and some of my friends like wrote about how I was as a kid and like who I was just like as me. And that was like one of the activities. It was all about boundaries, all these different things. And so then she never worked with anyone as a podcast before. She actually helps people like figure out their dream career. I had like all these really weird ass names. One of them was like Show and Tell, something really bizarre, but instead of Show and Tell, I think I was like Show and Talk or something really stupid. Like, you know, like you show up to Show and Tell and you're going to like bring your toy and you're going to talk about like this cool toy. And in my mind, I was like, someone's going to come to my podcast and they're going to share about their life and this will be perfect. And then I was on Instagram one day and I saw a quote about ripples and I was like, holy shit. I think this is it. Something to do with ripples. And I sent Nikki in like a few different name things, and she sent me back, you know, she thought the Creating Ripples and a few other ones. And I was like, Creating Ripples, like that is it. Because when I think about what I'm trying to do with Creating Ripples, is with each episode, my hope is that one person is impacted in their life to make a shift, to make a change. And from that, they go out and that creates a ripple of impact out into the world. So it could be something small, such as they're having a shitty day and then they listen to the podcast and they're in a little bit of a better mood. And now they're going to greet people with a hello and a smile versus like, you know, like just trudging around through the day. And that interaction of like a hello, how are you? I feel can go so far. And then maybe that person now is going to greet someone with a hello, how are you? And like little ripples are literally being created out in the world. And that's just a small impact. You know, I think the bigger picture is all these stories that my guests are sharing are really vulnerable. I'm holding space for them to just share with me whatever they feel called to. I'm never like forcing them down one way or another. I let them really be the storyteller and guide. And I truly believe everything that they've been sharing is educating people and impacting people in, I hope, a lot of different ways.
That's super cool. I love the aspect of how creating a ripple is almost entirely intention-based. You know, mm-hmm. it's gonna make a ripple if you decide it yourself. And I think just the focus and intentionality of creating some sort of ripple and trying to push it forward is a really cool movement. And I love the idea of how you look at the podcast as like, what can you give to the podcast? And you look at the podcast as like this higher entity that allows you to connect and really feel a connection with people. And I think, you know, as you know, having you as a client, but as a friend and someone who's like doing something in the space that, you know, we also believe in, which is, you know, just like have a platform for people to get vulnerable, tell story, share story, and like really make an impact. I think it's just awesome that you have that mindset right away, because as you know, like downloads and interest will be fleeting at times. And, you know, there's so many other things that require the ripple to be created, in a sense, I guess, with audio and video and everything else that goes along with it. Like, it's cool to see that you have the intentionality aspect of the podcast dialed in, because that's what's necessary.
Yeah, it's been a really cool learning process for me. Before I started working with both of you, it was just me at the helm. So I was on Canva trying to create my art design, and it was, my first art design was hideous. It didn't even make it. I reached out to a girl that, I don't know how people do this, but she draws on like her iPad and makes things look really cool. And so I reached out to her and I sent her a photo, actually. So the original Creating Ripples one was a photo of me. And then it had the Creating Ripples logo next to it. And then I asked her, I went back. So I actually also did a podcast program with the women from Almost 30, which is a podcast. And I had a call with one of them and they were like, you should just do one with just the words. So it's not giving in an image. It's just literally the title. And it's just letting the listener decide like, who is this podcast versus like an image and it being directly correlated to you, because it's not me, it's my guests. Yeah, I do some solo episodes, but it's not just me. And so I went back to her and she drew me up the Creating Ripples image. And my favorite part of the podcast is, I mean, I love getting to hear everyone's stories, but my last question is always, what is the ripple that you want to create? And people come up with just some really cool ways that they want to impact the people listening. And it's one of my favorite things. And that was also something that I was talking with Nikki about. And I was just like, I really just want to like leave it finishing really strong. And we went back and forth. And then that was the question that I came up with. And she's like, yeah, like that is impactful. Like that's what you need to finish with.
Any of the guest responses thus far stand out to you for the ethical question, Creating Ripples?
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite episodes, I love all of them, but one of my favorite episodes is Jess Stopra. She is freaking a force to be reckoned with. If either of you do not know who she is, she owns Sweat with Jess, and her ripple that she wanted to create was just the practice of gratitude and stepping back in your life, because it's so easy to get sucked into wanting more, wishing for more, that we lose sight of what's right in front of us. And so her challenge was for the listeners to just like really take a moment to be grateful for the situation that they're in and let themselves like revel in that. Because right, so often we can sometimes feel victim or feel like we're failing or things aren't going our way. But when you really think about what's going on in your life and you can step back and see all that you have to be grateful for, it's really eye-opening.
100%. And I think I read something today about that same aspect. Is like right now we currently have, you know, we wish that we're always in some other position, or we wish we were here, there. Basically, we wish we always have these aspirations or things that kind of put us on us in a spot or a space of where we want to be. But we forget that like years ago that we were wishing for the very moment that we're in right now. And mm-hmm. I think that's just like such a great reminder that like, you know, we're naturally forward minded thinkers, you know, we're going to have anxiety associated with that. And that's totally fine. That's what kind of drives anybody forward. But like, you got to be grateful for the present. You got to know that mm-hmm. like you're in a good spot and you got to trust and love the process. And I think about that all the time. Like as many things as we have going on right now, or as many things that are just weird in my own life or whatever it is, I'm just like super thankful for the fact that I'm like alive. Like we were talking, mm-hmm. I had played golf. I never really got to know like my own grandpa, because they both passed away before I was really a coherent young toddler. This one dude that I met in Tucson, like this dude's like a grandpa to me at this point. Like he's just a real chill dude. Golf with him all the time. We have a great time. He just tells me a bunch of his life stories. And he just turned 70 like a month ago. And I was like, how was it? And he's like, dude, just happy to be alive. Like, he's just like, I'm so glad I got here. I was like, did you have a lot of close calls? He's like, too many. I'm just happy to be here. And I think that's just like such an awesome perspective to have. And it's going right off of what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. One thing I'm a huge proponent of is self-development and investing in yourself. I think it's so important for us to be able to continue to invest in ourselves and continue to grow. And so I just did this 8-week program. And one of the things that she asked us to implement was a gratitude practice. So I bought a gratitude journal, but you could easily just do this with your own journal. And at the start of every day, you write down 5 things you're grateful for. And it can be simple things. I write usually like sleep, coffee, my family, the Creating Ripples podcast. It really depends. Like what, I mean, I'm honestly, I probably wrote in the fact that you're editing my podcast, because I'm very grateful for that.
Love
like
it.
You write down 5 things that you wake up that morning and that you're grateful for, and it can stay the same. It can change. And it's made me just like recognize like just the littlest things that can really make a difference in my day.
Mm. I really resonate with what you're saying with, you know, filling up your cup, investing in yourself. I recently just started going to therapy because I have this like constant belief over my like just aura around me that's like, you can be doing more, there's like a little self-doubt, and then at the same time it's like are you doing enough type self-doubt. And I know I'm doing enough, I know I'm doing a lot, but I always like second guess myself. And it wore on me. It builds this weird high functioning anxiety that just like breaks down. And I have these weird little pockets every year where it's like, I don't feel good about myself. And I recently started going, and now 6 weeks, 7 weeks ago. And it is incredible what just like in that level of investing in myself, 1 hour a day where I can feel no guilt, get everything on the table, hold nothing back, and understand that she is trying to figure out what's going on in my head to ultimately help me figure out what's going on in my head. That just process is the coolest thing. And mm-hmm. for the longest time I was like, oh, therapy, that is only if I have like a crazy problem, or like you're in a position where depression, something along those lines. But it's really, I just wanted to like better myself, and sitting in this time and time again, filling up my cup it's really cool. Doing like cognitive behavioral therapy and internal family systems therapy. It's a really a neat practice, and something I'm investing in each week. So I really resonate with the idea of, you know, filling up your own cup.
I 100% agree with that. And actually the episode it'll have come out before this. So on March 18th, the woman that I talked to today, she's a clinical life coach and her background is therapy. And she approaches therapy from a coaching perspective. And we were talking about that today of the pressure of always having to be on and always having to do more, and that there's shame and guilt when we decide to log off or we set that boundary for ourselves. And so what she was talking about is you have to step back and recognize, okay, what is the relationship that I am having right now with that anxiety, with that fear? And she was phrasing it as getting curious with those feelings, getting curious with those emotions and doing the work. And that's exactly what you're doing, is you're trying to figure out, okay, why is that coming up for me when I know I'm doing more than enough? But it's hard. I feel there's so much pressure from society that we always need to be doing more.
Right. No, it's definitely, I mean, it makes sense to a certain degree, just because we're all so connected and we're always on these different social media platforms, and just in our day-to-day work life, it's like there's always more to do and there's really never a time where you feel like your plate's not full and you're like have accomplished every task you could have been offered, which I feel like that's part of the thrill life at some point, where you got to just be like even grateful for the fact that of that, like that your plate's mm-hmm. that you're never going to have you're never going to get bored. Like if you think about it that way, like you literally are always going to have something to do as long as you kind of stay aware of it. But when you start talking about all your guests and like how you book them and different stuff like that, or the ones that have been really cool, personally, the ones that I've really liked and that and ones that I think, make your podcast super unique. And that's based on your background of sobriety, just talking about sobriety with these different guests have been super impactful, for me, just to listen to the sheer vulnerability and honesty that's coming from your podcast. Like were you always intending on talking about your sobriety story, and was that like something that you wanted to really highlight right away, or what's kind of the journey with that and the podcast?
First off, sorry if you can hear Schmidt. So
no, it's good. We actually wanted a Schmidt. We wanted yeah, Schmidt to get her words in.
Schmidt wanted to get in on this. I knew it. She likes to steal the show. So, yeah, I knew that sobriety would come up right away. That was my first episode, was me sharing my sobriety journey, because that was truly the catalyst to everything in my life. When I got sober, and I first really publicly shared that when I was 1 year sober, that was when I was like, holy shit, when I like share this dark side of me and get really real and raw and honest, I'm like connecting with all these people. People were reaching out to me personally of how they could relate. Maybe personally, they knew someone else struggling, they had a family member. And that pushed me to just continue to really share all different aspects of my life. And so for me, sobriety is a huge part of my life. It'll be 6.5 years on St. Patrick's Day.
Congrats.
And thank you. Yeah, it's crazy. But I knew I wanted to share other people's story, because it's when you're listening, sometimes you can hear one person's recovery journey and be like, I don't relate to that at all, or I don't understand what they're going through. Or you could have someone that literally has no idea what recovery is like. And there's no black and white story. Everyone's story is so different. And I think what is really cool is there's this huge shift in sobriety and alcohol-free culture, which I really, really love to see, because when I first got sober, I felt like it was like, you're an alcoholic or you're not an alcoholic. And if you're not an alcoholic, cool, keep on drinking. And over the years, really within the last year, I've started to realize like, that's actually not the case. You could just start to feel shitty from drinking. You might not have any DUIs and you might not have any like blackout instances like I did, but you might just recognize like, you wake up and you don't feel great. And so you want to take a look at your relationship with alcohol, but you're not going to identify as an alcoholic. And I think for so long as a society, it was like, well, if you're not identifying as an alcoholic, then you don't have a problem, like keep on drinking. And there's this shift now with modern recovery, just like, actually you can look at your relationship with alcohol and not identify as an alcoholic and still maybe want to make a shift. And it might not be totally sober, but it might just be like, starting to become more aware of like, when are you leaning on alcohol for certain situations? So like, oh, I'm having a shitty day. Cool. You're going to have beer because you're having a shitty day, like in the sense of like, I'm hoping this beer will make me feel better, because it won't. Like, it's actually a depressant, so it will do the opposite. Or are you wanting to like learn healthy coping mechanisms because you're having a shitty day? And so there's nothing against if you have a beer because you're having a shitty day. I have nothing against that. But I think there's like a bigger thing to look at of, there's just this idea that we like need alcohol for having fun or to manage our stress. And really that's not the case. You can have a lot of fun without drinking, and you can actually manage stress in much more efficient ways than drinking, because chances are you have a shitty day, you go out, you get drunk, you wake up the next day, you still feel shitty, right? Like, it was fun for the night, but like, it didn't really solve the problem. And that's what modern recovery is starting to look at, is like, you can look at your relationship with alcohol, not identify as an alcoholic, but just want to find different coping mechanisms and different options in certain scenarios.
Was this something that you reckon, like when you started realizing maybe there was a problem, was that something that you knew about, or is that something that you've learned about through going through this process?
Yeah, no, I did not know that. So when I got sober, it was like AA, or like there wasn't really anything that I knew of. Sure. So I went to AA, and I still do go, just not as much. Everything's pretty much Zoom, which is another layer to the pandemic. I couldn't imagine trying to get sober and your only option being to go connect with people virtually. I think that would be really hard. And so I give props to anybody getting sober right now during the pandemic. But within the last year and a half, I found this woman called Holly Whitaker, who launched a modern recovery program called Tempest. It's completely virtual. And her book, Quit Like a Woman, which everybody should read, men, women, anyone that's not even considering sobriety. It's just really interesting. She takes a look at big alcohol and how, like, as a society, you know, there used to be this big push for cigarettes, like cigarettes. Everyone did it. It wasn't weird, right? You used to smoke in hotels, you used to smoke in the restaurants. It was not weird. And now it's like, ugh, you smoke. Like, you know, people are like, you smoke. But if you tell someone you don't drink, it's like, what? Versus like, if you tell someone you do smoke, you know what I mean? It's just like, we as a society have like, alcohol and cigarettes both are bad for you, but like one of them is like praised in society and the other one's not. And her book talks a lot about that. And it's just really eye-opening about like how much money goes into like big alcohol and putting it out into society. Like, it's just like mind-blowing the stuff that she talks about and the science behind it. And that is when I started to look at Tempest more, which is her offering. And so I just do like her online program. And what I really like is it actually, this month is called Feeling All the Feelings. And so they're doing CBT, exactly what you were talking about, cognitive behavioral therapy. And they're basically helping those members work through CBT and like addressing their feelings without using alcohol. And I wish that I had known about something like this. I probably still would have gone to AA. But I think what's really cool about this is there are a lot of like what people call gray area drinkers. So they don't identify as an alcoholic, but they don't think that they should probably be drinking, and they're in the middle. And so it's like Tempest meets them there. Like, you don't identify as an alcoholic, but like you want to maybe stop drinking, or maybe you just want to drink less. And that's what Tempest is about, where like AA is very black and white. Like, you're coming in and you're not drinking. It's not like we're going to help you to learn how to manage your drinking, where Tempest is a little bit more of, you know, like just looking at that relationship more, and maybe you'll go back out and drink. But maybe you won't, because you're learning all these different skills.
I think that's really cool how the Tempest kind of, I think they attack it super modernly, just with a lot of how a lot of people kind of release these different types of programs nowadays, is like, they're not trying to put someone in a box, and they're actually trying to have, like, they're trying to just kind of create this experience in the community so that these people can formulate some sort of identity for themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that's been super, super fluid in this kind of new era, and probably that will consistently grow in the 2020s. is like, this is going on like everywhere. And I think you see it in, you know, the alcohol industry, but I mean, you also see it in the drug industry and how like marijuana is probably gonna be legalized, in all 50 states here and probably within the 2020s. And they're decriminalizing all these other drugs that were so frowned upon in, back in the day. And it's just like very interesting to see how, I feel like we're going to live in a landscape where there's not as much judgment around some of these drugs that our parents grew up with serious judgment on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as you being a mom and then like as us being fathers someday, like we're probably going to, it's going to be fun to live in a society where, you know, maybe the hype around alcohol is not near as much. And so like people aren't really even going to want to drink as much anymore. And I feel like, I think with that big alcohol thing that the Tempest is getting at has a lot to do with that. Like if you're going to put a lot of ad dollars and marketing dollars around this idea that this drug, can, you know, amplify your night out and then make you feel like shit the next day, like, you know, then people are going to go for it, you know? And then, and I think, it's just cool to see programs like The Tempest come out and try and just normalize this kind of weird gray area.
Yeah, I think that's what she does a good job is so she's sober herself and she tried AA, didn't work for her. So she wanted to offer something where people could come and not feel like they had to have a label. Because part of AA, when you go, you say your name and then you say, I'm an alcoholic. And that can scare the shit out of someone that is trying to figure out their relationship with alcohol and push them away. And so she wanted to create a space where it's like, you can show up, you don't have to identify as anything. And we're going to help you to take a look at that relationship.
Right.
That's awesome. And I'm curious on your end, with your journey of sobriety, with now releasing multiple podcasts a week and a second child on the way, there's a lot of high stressful situations where pressure becomes stress and your anxiety is rising. And I'm curious, Alex, what do you hold in your back pocket to help you overcome these situations?
Yeah, when I get stressed out or feel anxious, a lot of, I would say what I hold in my back pocket is communication, talking to Jordan, talking to my friends, using the people around me that are in my circle is truly my saving grace. Just to be able to be like, hey, I'm having a really shitty day, or I'm, you know, feeling stressed out, and talking about what the situation is and then letting them know what I need from them. So sometimes that's like, hey, Jordan, I have to get a workout in. Like I am feeling like so stressed from work right now. I need like 30 minutes to myself. And I truly believe like using the people in your circle. And if there's anything I've learned from this past year, it's like making sure that you have the right people in your circle, because that's what's going to get you far. So maybe that's what's in my back pocket, is not holding on to relationships just to hold on to them because you've been friends for so long. Instead, get the right relationships in your life and in your circle.
I love that. And it's also about like, yeah, you can say you have these people in your back pocket, but like, what are you doing and, to utilize these great people? You know, like, we all have plenty of friends that you are just loving friends, but they're also not the people that are going to reach out when, you're sad or mad or whatever. Right. Nor are they going to even know that too. And I think that communication aspect is a super, super big, you know, it's a super big proponent. It's like incredibly necessary, not only in relationship aspects, but just like in life in general. I mean, that's just one thing where I find myself, you know, having to be more effective at now more than ever. Like Andrew and I are, we haven't seen each other physically since Christmas. So like putting out everything that we're doing and like operating as fast as we're moving, like things need to be communicated very efficiently. And like, we're not here to like waste each other's time, honestly. And part of that kind of bums me out, because like Andrew and I like to dick around a lot. Like it kind of sucks that we have
gotta be efficient.
It's like, oh, here's Andrew calling at the end of the night. Like, you know, he's absolutely blitzed from, you know, producing the date night podcast, but like I gotta ask the question and see how he's doing. To that same degree, it's like I still want to just like talk to the kid and catch up on his actual life outside of Back Pocket, you know?
I think, and I've told both of you this before, from my podcast with Mark, I think you have like a, what seems from like an outsider looking in, a really awesome group of guy friends where you're able to like lean into each other. You kind of challenge each other to go further personally and professionally. And what it also sounds like from the conversation he and I had of, you do a good job of checking in on each other. And going back to Andrew talking about therapy, I think that is such a hard topic sometimes for guys to talk about, because it's like this like taboo thing almost, where, you know, women, I feel like for so like within the past few years, we've been like, yeah, therapy. And now it's like, men need therapy too, right? We're all human. We all need therapy. We're all going to benefit from it. And I think you both have a really cool group of friends that empowers you to do what you need to do to live your best life. And that's a really cool thing to have, especially, I mean, at your age. I'm not that much older than you, but from when I look at Jordan and his friends, they're great and they all support each other, but they definitely like, he has a few friends that really push him, but not as much as I think like he could benefit from.
Sure. Yeah. My mom always was like, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. And that's that little saying stuck with me. And it is awesome that the community you have in Minneapolis, the community that Declan and I have been able to build with Back Pocket, and then to speak with people week in and week out, such as yourself. I mean, it's really cool that I can fill up someone else's cup and they will do it in return. And it all comes and it all stems from opening up, being honest with someone, being, as I like to say, radically transparent. And then you're going to see the things come back your way, because you're not putting any expectation for the things to be returned, that reciprocal altruistic approach to it. It's an ever growing process, but the friend group is always there, and keep the ones close to you. And with that being said, our transition here on the back end show, I asked you what's in your back pocket. Our next favorite question to ask is, what's your average quality? And this is something that you deeply care about, and you might not be that great at it, but you're trying to get better at it a little bit each day. So Alex, I'd like to ask, what's your average quality?
This is so hard. Is it like in just one area of my life, or like all areas?
Take it however you'd like it.
Yeah, if it's in all areas, that's cool too, you know.
Yeah, I would say my average quality, could I say being a wife? Like, I'm truly trying to be better.
Oh, dude,
it's my average quality, because it's something like, yeah, I think I'm okay at it, but I'm constantly trying to be better at it.
So that's great.
Going back to that gratitude journal, one of the questions that you put is something you're going to work on for the next 90 days. And for me, I wrote that I'm going to work on becoming an exceptional wife. And one thing I'm going to do every day to get there is compliment Jordan. Because I think like letting him know how he supports me, how he shows up for me. So I would say maybe being a wife. Otherwise, I was going to say my average quality is just like me being authentic. I'm not perfect at it. I don't think anybody is, but I think it's something I'm constantly working on, is just like always like taking down any barriers and like really being an open book and just saying it how it is and what I'm going through, and really helping people to see like, yeah, some days are really great and some days are really fucking hard, but like, this is life and every human has these experiences.
Right. When you touch on authenticity, what's kind of that barrier that causes you not to be authentic?
I think sometimes I don't mind sharing the personal side of it. It's the fear of guilt or shame or what are other people going to think? I mean, it ties back into that whole breastfeeding thing. I had no problem switching to pumping and then to formula, but that pressure of feeling like a lot of people were going to feel like I should have kept breastfeeding. I shouldn't have given up so early. And I felt really confident in my decision, but I was nervous that if I like told the public like, oh, we're switching, that I was going to get pushback on it. And I think that's sometimes what holds me back from showing up and sharing all the things that I want to share. And I'm working on that every single day, of just learning to be like, hey, you know what, this is my journey and other people don't get to tell me how I can or can't do it. And I'm doing, and Jordan and I are doing what we think is best for our family. And I think I just need to keep like not letting those other people get in my way of showing up and helping other people. I think reminding myself, like, I'm sharing this to help another mom that might be experiencing the same thing, or to help another girl that's struggling with body image to not feel the same way that I am. And that overcomes the naysayers or the people that are going to give me that pushback.
Yeah. Like I said, the creating ripples is 100% intentional. Like you're just trying to help people out. You know, there's no ill will here, and whatever ripple it creates is bound to create something new. Now, I do want to touch on this average quality of being a good wife. I'd first like to start with you giving a compliment to Jordo live here on the podcast. But then I'd also like you to follow up with maybe where you've had some shortcomings as a wife.
Yeah. Okay, my compliment for Jordan today is that, first off, the Juicy Lucy's you made for dinner were bomb.
Wow, Grillmaster Jordo.
The first grill at the new house. So those were delicious. And that you are a phenomenal partner for taking on Spa Night completely solo and allowing me to do the podcast episode tonight. Nice. So thank you for
that's
that.
That's good
thank
fun.
You, Jordo.
Snaps.
Good
snaps
work, Jordo. Does he have an Instagram?
Jordo.
Yeah, can we?
At Jordan's honor, give him some love.
All right. Well,
he's very inactive. So
it's very dad of him. It sounds like he's going fitting into his mold.
It's very much like our anniversary will come and maybe he'll find like some embarrassing photo of me to post and then won't come back on for another year.
Nice. He doesn't understand the social media branding aspect yet.
No, I'm like, come on, dude, trying to grow my brand. Get on board with me.
I think we talked about this once before off air, but is Jordo ever going to come on the podcast?
That is the goal. Okay, I've done two polls. The dud, as some people said, he's a dud. He's really not a dud. He's phenomenal. We're going to record one. We're going to record it. And I think it's going to be my first episode in April, because what I had been doing was I was doing my solo episode as the first one of the month. But March is crazy with the Women Rising episodes. So April, the first one in April, that's my goal. He's like, what are we going to talk about? I'm like, I don't know. We're going to figure it out, though. It'll be fine.
No, don't April Fools us here. We're expecting Jordo on April
1st. Yeah, I know.
First.
We got to get him on. I don't know. I don't know what he'll say. He'll be very...
You know what I'm excited for?
It's wild.
I'm excited for Jordo to be nervous on the podcast, and you're going to have him by the reins because you're like, yeah, welcome to my podcast, Jordo.
He will be nervous. I think the one thing he would like me to get better at is to not make him make reels or TikToks with me.
Oh,
like,
yeah. No.
Kit, that he is like, are you freaking kidding me? I actually told him we were pregnant with our second. I found out without him, which was really hard. I knew for the whole morning of work and that night. And I was like, let's make a reel. And we were going to surprise my mom for dinner that night. He's like, are you fucking kidding me? We got to get going. I was like, let's just make a reel really, really quick. And I was like, go hide in the pantry. And he's like, okay. And I like grab Clara and I have the pregnancy test. And then he comes out and he's like, ah. And then I hand him the thing and he's like, oh my God, what? I was like, yeah, that's why I wanted to make the fake reel. Like,
Oh, so got it.
He was crabby. Honestly, if you're looking for a really good TikTok of Jordan, I don't make TikToks often. You know those new boot goofing, the new boot goofing thing? Jordo had way too much fun at my brother's wedding this summer and they had the guys wear cow boots. And he could not get them off that night. So I have a video of him like highly intoxicated, laying on the couch when we lived at my parents', mind you. So like my parents were part of all this and he's trying to get his boots off. And I was like, no new boot goofing no more. And he's like, no new goofing no more. And I'm like, oh God, okay. And then I like to post those things on my social media. And he's like, gosh, Al, my mom's on there. Like, but he doesn't see it till the next morning because then he obviously falls asleep. And
right.
Me and my mom and dad are upstairs like laughing at him. We're like, ah, ha, 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 this was hilarious. But that was a tangent.
No. Have you gone viral on Reels or TikTok yet?
No.
First off,
my TikTok is horrible. There's one video, the last like a month ago, me and my girlfriend had a sleepover, 30-year-old sleepovers, trying to make a video on TikTok, a dance. It took us like 2 hours. And then we finally did it. It was like the Katy Perry, like crisscross arm one.
Yeah.
That's about it. Like I've tried to make, I thought one TikTok that I had made was going to be really good. And it was about like last year when the girl was talking about why do we post TikToks when we're not even lip syncing it and it's all off. And like everybody was doing it. And I like practiced it. Like I was like, fuck yeah, I'm going to nail this and shit is going to go crazy. And I got like one like, and I was like, this isn't my niche. What's my niche, Alex? Like, this isn't working.
It's so funny. Like, yo, first of all, just keep posting. Post as much as you can. If you have reels, those should be TikToks and vice versa. But like, just keep doing it.
The mom reels, those are what work.
You're gonna hit mom talk.
I do embolden. I do reels for that. So like last night I did the like, and then you like go on vacation. But then I was like, yeah. And then I was like, but parents, we go on vacation. And I was like laying in the tub. And
nice.
People liked it. I got like 40 likes, which is pretty good for Embolden because we only have like 300 followers. So I will take it.
There you go. No, I think that's sweet. And
post photos of your baby, and then
people that works like, too.
Baby,
right?
But I don't like to do that. I like to try to be funny, even though I'm.
Yeah. No. Keep the creativity flowing, and just let us know when you go viral because it's gonna happen. I have this firm belief that like, TikTok will always make one video of every user who posts go viral at some point for no reason. And then just like, right, that'll be like the tick that keeps them coming back every single time. But it's just funny like what video that ends up being, because it's probably the one that you would least expect. And it's probably the one like, it's to some degree, you're like, why is that one going viral? Like, God damn it. Why wasn't this other one that I spent 2 hours on?
I really thought the new boot goofing one was.
That sounds.
I thought it was pretty funny.
It's got some legs.
I could make a lot of TikToks.
Genuine ostrich, three payments.
Right. I could make a lot of TikToks in Jordo, and I think they're funny, but I don't know.
Hey, just more.
The guy's entertaining.
Right. It sounds like the guy's just dripping content at all times. Honestly.
I mean, I don't know if you saw my Instagram tonight. He was out there shaking it. And poor Claire was crying because she was like so embarrassed.
I love that.
Please stop.
Father daughter dance is going to be a great time for him.
Oh man, yeah, he has the dad moves, and he has had the dad moves even before he was a dad.
Wow, it sounds like this guy was breeded to be a dad. You really did date up. I like what you did there.
Yeah, he's embraced. I mean, he'll kill me for saying this, but he's embracing the dad bod. He's like,
oh no, let's go. Yeah. Should we kick him in gear?
Yeah, we need to get his ass back in Alchemy. We got a home gym downstairs. I'm like, come on, man.
Really?
I told him every time I can't work out, he has to do one for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we ran a marathon, so now I think he's like, I done that. I don't need to do anything else ever again. I'm just kidding. He still works out and he's still active. I like to just.
Has Jordo jumped in the ice water yet? Or have you jumped in the ice water yet?
No, I don't think I could do it.
Honestly, whoa.
Both were doing it. I think he could do it. My dad 100% could do it. My dad is like always tries to be the first one into the lake. My parents live on a lake, and so he likes to be the first one in, and he likes to be the last one in every year. So, I mean, I think I should get him out to the lake. I think he'd for sure do it.
So you're in the perfect position. Andrew, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, well, I think we're going to have both of you in the ice water. I think that's an absolute must. Whether we do it at Embrace North with the ice buckets, or we journey to Cedar Lake and we dip our toe in there, because it's like nothing else. I mean, I really truly believe like the ice water is a little safe haven in there. There's something crazy in there that turns into an energy like none other.
What's the longest you did it for?
I did 31 minutes for our best Christmas ever fundraising.
Yeah.
And we ended up raising $10,000 because of that.
That's amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Best Christmas ever is wonderful. Props to Jason on that. We always do it at Alchemy, and it's always like the best getting to deliver the gifts to the families.
Right.
There's nothing like it, truly.
Seriously. No, but I think what you said earlier when we asked you if you're going into the ice, like if you're going to the ice water, it's like, and you said, no, I can never do that. That's why the ice water freaking rocks. Like, you are literally saying live on a podcast that you can't do something, and we're going to bring you out there and you're going to do it. And you'll be in there for 5 minutes. You'll get out and you'll be like, I can't believe I just did that. And it's just like the coolest feeling and the coolest energy of all time, because like, not only did you do it that one time, but like, I can tell you every single time you do it, or you will do it or whatever. No, it never does. It's literally the same every time. And it's like, this still sucks ass. And it's so hard. But that's the best part about it, is like, your mind's going to tell you no, you refute back and go ahead and do it. Mm-hmm. And then like, the empowerment that you get from that is second to none.
Yeah. I mean, it's literally what I tell my athletes when they're in class. Not, I don't make them get in the ice bucket, but when they're trying to tell me that they can't do something, and I'm like, fucking crazy, because I know you can, let's do it. And then they get that first pull up or that first box jump, and it's like, yes. So I have to do a little bit of what I tell, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm having like a pregnancy brain fart. You know, or you like tell someone,
told you so. I don't know.
No, do you know what I'm saying? When you tell someone and then you have to like eat what you're saying, that's not the phrase. I
can't think of it. Put a foot in your mouth.
No, like, you know, like a taste my own medicine.
Taste
like,
your own medicine. Yeah, yeah. Oh, taste your own medicine.
Like, God, right. There's something, some phrase. Pregnancy brain is really freaking real. I've already done some weird ass. I do a lot of weird stuff when I'm driving and pregnant. Like, we have one of those button cars, you know?
And yeah. Wow. Sweet flex on that. Sick flex.
Yeah, the button car. And I went into work and it came on. I was like, what the fuck? It's not turning on. I left it in drive and just turned it off.
Oh, I've done that plenty of times.
Yeah.
Fair. I've done that twice already.
Wow. So, wow. Yeah. So pregnancy brain's a real thing.
I mean, you forget. You forget stuff.
Oh.
Like a lot of stuff.
Someone else is thinking inside you. I mean,
yeah, they're taking all my thoughts. What the fuck? ABZ, stop taking my thoughts, okay?
Oh, yeah, something's definitely stealing your thoughts inside your tummy, and that's so obvious.
I'm going to tell people from now on, ABZ is stealing my thoughts, okay?
What's your favorite trimester?
Second trimester.
Nice.
It's when you get your energy back and you're not so big that when things fall on the floor, they become dead to you. That's third trimester. Something falls down, it's dead to you.
Wow, because you can't pick it up?
You can, but you might not get back up.
Whoa. That's crazy.
Jordan tied my shoes all of third trimester. And third trimester was like November, December, January. I had to like have my sister let me borrow her slip-on boots because tied shoes were dead. That just was a thing of the past.
Right.
Andrew, you probably heard on my one podcast when I was in the shower and
Oh yes.
You reach a point where you look down in the shower and you can't see what you need to see. And then have you ever seen She's Out of My League? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Amanda Bynes.
I had a real conversation with not Amanda Bynes. She's Out of the League is like the guy that works at the airport. You know, you don't know what I'm talking about. He helps his friend.
Is this with Stainer?
Yeah. He shaves his friend up for him. And I had a real conversation with Jordan. Like, I can't see, like, this is a real conversation that we have to, like, discuss, you know? Like,
wow.
I mean, you literally can't see. You can't even see your feet.
Wow. Right.
That's why you just wear Crocs all the time.
It was winter.
I think maybe that's, like, your opening question to Jordo. It's like, Jordo, what's the worst position I've ever put you in?
Yeah. I mean, we didn't end up getting that. We didn't end up having to do that. It was fine.
But thank God.
Yeah. I mean, guy's a trooper. Foot massages, makes popcorn in the middle of the night.
Wow.
I mean, I will say I am really trying to milk it right away. We're like, we'll be doing something. And I'm like, but I'm pregnant. And he's like, get your ass up. You are barely pregnant. I'm like, thought that would work. I think it worked better the first time around, and now that we've got another rugrat like already running around, it's not gonna work for me so much.
No, he sounds like he's a lot more seasoned, but regardless, it sounds like it's a challenge nonetheless. And I want to know, and something that we bring up on this podcast often is a challenge for, like, basically we would love you to challenge us with a guest or someone to, or maybe even an idea that we should pursue on the podcast, but a person that you think we should have on the show.
So I thought about this a lot. Do you know who Nora McInerney is?
I do not.
No.
She is the host for Terrible Thanks for Asking, the podcast, and she is from the Twin Cities. I think she's moved, but she's wonderful, and I think she would be such an awesome guest to have on the podcast. She's someone that truly embraces vulnerability. She's remarried, but her first husband passed away from a brain tumor. And so have you ever heard of Still Kickin', the brand? No. It's a local Twin Cities fundraiser. And so she helps raise funds for people that are going through any form of cancer. And then they pick like a hero for the month and you raise funds for them. And you have these shirts that say Still Kickin'. And she's just wonderful. And I think she would be like such an awesome guest. And then if you get her, you tell her to come be on the Creating Ripples podcast too.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I love that move.
And it's a double whammy.
It's a double whammy. We'll definitely send you some guests as well. I think there's definitely a two-way street here with different podcast guests. I mean, you already had Mark Amick on. He was phenomenal. I was actually listening to that one today. And it's sweet. I love that challenge, and we're definitely going to pursue it. Thank you.
Challenge accepted.
Right. All right. The challenge of the ice bath also is maybe accepted. We'll see.
You need to do it.
Next winter. Yes. We'll stand off on that. You have 8 months of prep. Once the winter rolls back, we're getting back in that water.
All right. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if my OB would be like, yeah, go get in some really cold water while you're pregnant.
That's another thing.
They might tell you not to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it might slow your baby's thoughts down. You might have all your thoughts back.
Maybe that's what I want to do, though. Maybe I need his thoughts slowed just for a little bit.
That was so dark. Sorry.
Yeah, not in that sense. Not slowing it that way.
Yeah, no, sorry. Yeah. I didn't mean that.
I see what you're saying.
Okay.
Come on, Jackie.
Yeah, no, can't blow the podcast this late in the game. We had so many good things to say. Well, that's awesome. So I guess our final question here that we'd like to ask, and it's very present moment and present-minded question. It's from the time you woke up today, what time are you waking up nowadays?
It all depends on if I'm working. So if I work, like tomorrow morning, I have to be at work at 6. I'm not a morning person. So I definitely I have a 25-minute drive. So I get up like 10 minutes before I have to leave.
Yep.
Just enough time to brush my teeth and change and grab a protein bar and get out the door.
Smart.
So tomorrow, my alarm is going to be set for like 5:15. And then I'll probably snooze and then I'll get up and then I'll go. But otherwise, I get up when Clara gets up, which is 7 a.m.
Nice. All right.
Yeah,
I know. So you're getting some serious
daylight. Yeah, but daylight savings is coming. And I've heard the last one was okay, but I've heard the spring ahead is a real bitch. So we'll see what happens.
This weekend.
Yeah.
This weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, man, Andrew, that kind of sucks for us.
We lose an hour?
Yeah, because now I'm West Coast time and you're Central time. Because Arizona
doesn't switch.
Arizona doesn't switch.
Weird.
Oh, it's wild. It's super cool.
Why did they do that?
It's just because it's so hot out here and you need that extra hour during the day for working. So they just said, it's bad for production. We're not going to stick with it. And it's always been that way. I don't know. I think that's what it is. That someone told me that once. But nonetheless, Andrew, that gets ugly for us because being 2 hours behind is so much different than being 1 hour behind.
Agreed. So, I don't like it.
But anyways,
regardless, we digress.
From the time you woke up today to the time we're having this conversation now, what have you learned today, Alex?
Today, I have learned, I would say, just from this last conversation, I've learned that I have a lot of power to be able to share my stories. Both of you just talking about what I've been doing with the podcast and stuff is making me recognize that I really am onto something and to keep rolling with it and going back to that average quality of getting out of my own way and just continuing to show up. And so I think when I think about the day, that's what I'm going to end on is just show up and don't really give a crap what other people think, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. It's our life and we're the only ones that have to live it.
Amen. Continue to show up, Alex. You're a badass. And I really appreciate you coming on and sharing everything you shared today, from creating ripples to becoming a mom for the second time, having a second child, and your sobriety story and everything in between. It has been an honor. So thank you so much, Alex, for joining the Back Pocket.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's been awesome.
Sweet. That's a wrap.
Seeing double. Tell the whole squad out the back door, man, I think it's time to huddle. Yeah. We're in trouble. Wrote a pop song, tried to pop off, but I think we popped a bubble. And we run around, but now I know we're tired of the nonsense. All the things we can't control. Really, really messes with a healthy mindset. Are we there yet? Or is this just how it goes? So you wanna play the pop game? Said you never, never will change, but I don't believe you. So you wanna play the pop game? Said it always goes the same way, but I don't believe you. No, I don't, no, I don't. Triple coverage. Had it mapped out, but you spaced out. Man, you didn't see it coming. Yeah. Hold my luggage. About to fly up, holding my cup, looking down and seeing nothing. And we run around, but now I know we're tired of the nonsense. Are we there yet? Or is this just how it goes? So you wanna play the pop game? Said you never, never will change, but I don't believe you. No, I don't. So you wanna play the pop game? Said it always goes the same way, but I don't believe you. No, I don't, no, I don't. So you wanna play the pop game? Said you never, never will change, but I don't.